Man, I like y'all this morning. Let's do this every Sunday. We're going to, as a matter of fact, I feel like God kind of set this up. This message this morning is going to fit right in with where we are and what's happening today. We're going to talk about, we're starting a series today called Don't Miss Thanksgiving. It's easy to miss Thanksgiving. Every year I do this poll. Statisticians wouldn't think this is a perfect way to do it. But every year I ask this question during November, pumpkin pie or pecan pie? And so see, wait a minute. Listen, I'm going to make one of y'all find a new church if you don't stop that. The proper pronunciation is pecan, and it is not pie, it's pie. You got to say pecan pie, all right? So how many, some of you are like, I got to find a church with a smart preacher. I don't know what's going on. All right. How many pecan pie people we got in the room? All right. How many pumpkin pie people in the room? There you go. My people right there. All right. You know, you miss Thanksgiving one time, and it hurts. If you've been with your family every Thanksgiving, I remember when Jody and I were the first Thanksgiving, really the first holiday we had ever lived away from our family. And so we didn't really have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with, and it was just the two of us, and we were just young and broke. And we just decided we were going to go to, I believe it was Furs Cafeteria back in the day. I don't even know if those still exist. But we got there, and the line, you know, they got that squiggly line that goes in the store, and then it goes out onto the sidewalk for 7 miles, and we were just like, forget this. We don't need turkey that bad. And we just drove down to Denny's, and there was nobody at Denny's, and we had Denny's for Thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Denny's might say they have Thanksgiving dinner. They don't have Thanksgiving dinner, all right? They may have something that they call turkey, and I don't want to get sued here, but it ain't the kind of turkey I'm used to eating. At our house, we like turkey and dressing and collard greens and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie and pecan pie and the whole bit, and it goes on for hours. I mean, from about noon till bedtime, it's mealtime. And there's just something about that. And yet, when you miss it the first time, that's when you truly appreciate it. When you miss Thanksgiving dinner with family and friends for the first time, you go, wow, that was really important to me. I didn't realize just how important that was. Now I hope you get to spend Thanksgiving with all your people this year. But what we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks is pretty simple. Don't miss living a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. Don't skip out on God when He does something for you and He's blessing you, and you just go, well, life is good right now. Because we have this tendency that when things are going good, we have a tendency to just sort of coast a little bit, and maybe we don't really honor God the way He wants us to honor Him. So I want us to start with this scripture, Psalm 103 and 2. It says this, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He does for me. That's the whole basis of this. May I never forget the good things He does for me. Now, so it means that he's having to pray a prayer here. I don't want to forget, God, all the blessings, all the good stuff that you've done for me. Jesus sort of lived one of these moments where people forgot Thanksgiving. They missed Thanksgiving. And Jesus was just out hanging out and going, well, he wasn't hanging out. He was going to Jerusalem, and he's between Samaria and Galilee, and he's sort of minding his own business, headed somewhere. And these 10 lepers, now lepers were people who had the disease of leprosy, and they were removed from society. They had to stay in groups. They could not hang out with other people because this disease, they were afraid the disease would be transferred and more people would get it. So they were sort of isolated, and they were kind of the social outcasts of the day. And Jesus comes walking by them, and they scream out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Well, so they immediately recognized who he was. They probably heard all the good stuff that Jesus was doing. He's healing the sick and he's doing all this great stuff. And they recognized him for who he was, Jesus, Master. They knew he had the power to heal them. And Jesus, it almost seems like, very nonchalantly says to them, hey, go show yourself to the priest. And that was sort of the end of what he said. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, they knew what that meant. If they started to get well, they had to go to the priest, and the priest would examine them and say, okay, you are good to go back to family. You're good to go back to life, and you don't have to stay in this leper colony anymore. You had to go through the priest. It was Jewish law. And so Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, listen, it was one of those things where Jesus could have said, you're healed, go. But he didn't. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And then the Bible says, as they went toward the priest, as they went, they were healed. They're just walking along, and it seems that slowly but surely, those lesions and those white spots and that necrotic tissue on their arms and legs and hands and faces, it started to go away, and new flesh started to appear. And one of the guys realized, I'm well. And the Bible said he went back to Jesus. One out of the 10 went back to Jesus and fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him for what he had done. And Jesus said, you know, go, just go. First of all, he said, look, weren't there 10 of you? And so 9 guys missed Thanksgiving. He said, there was 10 of you, right? It was a strategic question. He knew exactly how many there were. And he didn't really even give a chance for an answer. He looks at the man and says, your faith has made you well. You can go. And so he points to the fact that every one of us, as we go through life, and this is important, if you don't get anything else, get this. As we're going through life and God is answering questions, just like those lepers started to head for the priest and they were healed as they went. It happened sort of gradually. It seemed almost naturally. And so as they went along, 9 of them forgot that they had just asked Jesus, Master, to have mercy on them, and they went about their business. It seems as though they went along and said, well, you know, I just got better. People are like, what happened to you? I just started getting better. I mean, I was just walking down the road and things started to change. And only one of them said, I need to go back to the source of all the blessings in my life and say thank you and honor God for what he's done for me. And when we are going through life, things are going to happen, and good stuff and bad stuff. And when the good things happen, oftentimes we just say, well, my circumstances changed. And we forget, the Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good gift in your life and mine right now, and we could pull out a piece of paper and we could start writing down all the things we're thankful for, and every one of those things was a blessing from God. It came from God to us. But if we're just accepting it as good things happening in our life, sometimes we don't do what this scripture says. We do forget that all these good things came from God, and we don't honor him. Now, all right, worship, when we want to worship God for the blessings in our life, we say, God, you've been good to me. God, you saved my soul. God, you helped me with a job. God, you put my marriage back together. God, you set me free. God, you've healed my body. Lord, you're taking care of my kids. You've done all these great things. And we say, I want to honor God. Just walking around going, I feel good about this stuff is happening. Thank you. You know, in our minds, I'm grateful. God's been good to me. That is not worship. That is not bowing down before the King of Kings. That's not praising God with our whole hearts. Worship requires action. Just having a grateful heart is part of it, but it's not the whole thing. I have to be willing to use my hands and my feet and honor God in several different ways. Now, listen, I'm just going to be upfront with you. For some of you in the room this morning, it's going to be very uncomfortable. But I will promise you, you'll live and you'll have lunch in an hour, all right? It'll be okay. I want to share 7 things with you. 7, I almost said 6. 7. 7 things from the Old Testament. 7 words that God uses to describe praise. He shows us this is how you're supposed to honor God. This is how you worship. This is how you pray. So we're just going to jump right into this list. If I'm thankful, these are things that I can do to honor God. Here's the first one. Yada is the word. It's a Hebrew word. It means to throw your hands up in the air. All right. So Psalm 107, let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done. That word praise, let them praise the Lord, is throwing your hands up in the air. Think of it like this. When they're singing a great song and leading us in worship and I lift my hands to God, I'm saying, Lord, we have won. I'm on your side. I want to give you credit. When the Cowboys score the first touchdown today, all right? And when they win and they beat Julio's team really bad, all right? If you don't know Julio, he's right here and he hates the Dallas Cowboys right there. All right. Beat him up in the parking lot later. All right. So, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Listen, when the Cowboys last Sunday night, we had trunk or treat out here, and we had hundreds of kids coming through our church parking lot, and we had so much fun, and we got to share the love of Jesus with them when they were here. But when we all got home, there was a few minutes left of the Cowboy game, and it looked bleak. I ain't gonna lie to you. It looked bleak. And at the last minute, I mean just the last minutes of the game, they touchdown, and I do one of these on the living room couch. Woo! And it was, there's nobody else on the couch with me. Nobody's paying attention. It's just one of these, yes, we did it. All right, we did it. We did it, the Dallas Cowboys. All right. That's exactly what this word yada means in the Old Testament in Hebrew. I throw my hands in the air and I go, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. It's that moment of victory that God has taken care of me. So when we come in here on Sunday mornings and you see people acting crazy doing this stuff, that's all they're doing. They're just yadoing. All right, they're just throwing. They realize God has been with them and God is blessing them. All right, here's the second word, toda. All right, toda. This one means to worship with your hands raised, palms up. So the first word in Hebrew was woo, like this. Right, we won. The second word is toda. It's to lift our hands, palms up. And this one is about receiving what we are, thanking God in advance for what we haven't yet received. Are you praying for anything right now? Is there stuff on your prayer list that you're going, God, we really want you to show up. We really want you to work in this area of our lives. And that's when we lift our hands as if it's a funnel and we say, Lord, I want you to just fill me up. I want you to help me. But I'm doing it in an act of worship, saying, thank you, God, for the answers that are coming. Not the answers that have already come. Not the things you've already done for me. The things that I know are on the way. The things that I've been praying about. The things I've been trusting you for. It's worship with hands open, saying, Lord, I want whatever you have for me. Lord, I'm just looking up to you. You're the source. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. All right, here's the third word. Halal. Halal means to shine or to show or to celebrate. It's the crazy people you heard earlier this morning in church. I call on the Lord who is worthy of halal, praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Now this word halal goes, it's the root word for the word we know is hallelujah. If somebody says hallelujah, even if they're being sarcastic, you know what they mean. And when you hear that in church, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was just listening. Now, I'm not trying to look cool here. I was moved by this. I was listening to a Kanye song the other day on that latest album. And man, I hear a lady in the background going, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look it up. All right. Man, I was crying in the truck driving down the road because this lady gets it. Hallelujah. She's saying, I know what this means, to celebrate. Halal means to celebrate. Hallelujah. Yahweh means Yahweh. Yah is Yahweh, God. To celebrate God, just to honor God in celebration. That's why when we get together and we're worshiping together, there's something special about it. We get to celebrate the good things that God has done in our life. Now last Friday night, we got to hear, I'm picking on him, all right, but Julio right here on the front row again, gave his testimony of how God had brought him out of a life of addiction and all sorts of stuff and set him free and brought him to where he is today. There was celebration in the room. There was celebration. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To celebrate God. This is what God has done in my life. All right. Here's the fourth word. Barak. It means to kneel, to bless God as an act of adoration, to bow down in a worshipful attitude. It means to actually bow down. When's the last time you bowed down before God? When you just got on your hands and knees before God and just said, Lord, I just want to thank you for all the good things you've done. I want to thank you for who you are and what you mean. I want to thank you for the things that are coming. I want to, Barak, I want to worship you through an act of humility. Look at Psalm 95. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. To bow before the Lord in a humble posture and say, God, you are the one that my whole life revolves around. I don't want to forget the blessings that you have poured into my life. I don't want to forget the blessings that are coming in my life. I want to worship you. I want to show you how I feel. I want to bow down before you. Now, when we bow down, we're saying, Lord, I trust you more than I trust me. I know who you are. You are God. And I'm going to defer. I'm going to always defer to your wisdom. I'm deferring to your plan. I'm deferring to your way of doing things. Rather than me trying to get what I want out of this, I want to honor you. I want to bow before you. Here's number five, Shabbat. To address in a loud tone, to triumph, to glory, to shout. Now, all the introverts in the room are like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Ooh, I don't want to do that. It's relative to where you are, okay? If you're a quiet person and you come running around screaming, we're going to go, whoa, wow, what just happened? Something's up. Now, you might. I'm all for it. Watch what he says, though, in Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Shout to God with the voice of triumph and songs of joy. Now, he tells us here that we are to honor God with a loud voice. With a loud voice. I'm gonna put somebody on the spot here and say this. If you have felt like your relationship with God is not fulfilling where you are, it might be that you need to close the door and get loud with God for a minute. And just honor God. You can get loud in church too. We don't mind. All right. But when we come before God and we are clapping our hands. Listen, you might say, I can't keep beat. Me either. I tell Michelle, our worship leader, I said, look, I need you to start clapping so I know what beat to clap on. All right? I don't know if I'm on the upbeat or the downbeat. I just don't know, and I hate it, and I wish I had more rhythm, but it's what it is. You know, it's not my gift. But he didn't tell me, clap because you're on beat. Sometimes I'm just over there. I'm just clapping on every beat. I'm just like, I'm going to hit every beat, doggone it. Trying to bounce one way and keep my rhythm, and say it's not easy. Clap your hands and get loud with the Lord. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. With a voice of triumph. Here's what he's saying. That comes from a deep place. A deep place. I've been to cowboy games with friends that I'm embarrassed to be with. Because they are so loud and so crazy. It's a voice of triumph. Yeah, screaming and begging for the camera. Bring the TV camera over here. And I'm just like, come on, man. Why don't you act this way at church? Come on, do something. All right. It's true. I have thought it. Triumph, glory, shout, loud. It's about saying, Lord, I am willing to let go of my pride and say thank you. I don't want to miss Thanksgiving. I don't want to miss giving God or taking the opportunity to give God the glory that belongs to him. Here's number six, Zamar. This is worship with musical instruments. Now listen, everybody that's not musical in the room went, well, I'm off the hook. Not true. You and I, us non-musical people, have still been called to engage when the people are playing the instruments. I'm so thankful for people that can play guitars and basses and keyboards and drums and all that stuff. I have tried it. I took lessons. It just didn't stick. It didn't work. It's not in me. I don't have the desire to do it, but I'm grateful for the people who do. But watch this. This is not an opportunity for me to be entertained. They came up here, they've been working hours this week preparing for you and me to get here, not so they could entertain us, but so they could lead us into the presence of God with worship. If you want to be entertained, I mean, wait till Bon Jovi comes out of retirement and get a ticket. Go somewhere, get some Jay-Z tickets, whatever it is you do, I don't know. and go and be entertained. That's great. This is not the place for that. They're not coming here thinking, boy, I hope these people really like this arrangement we put together this song. They're thinking, I hope God appreciates this arrangement that we put together for him. Amen. And when we all join together, amen, go ahead, amen. Watch what Psalm 150 says. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp, stringed instruments. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. There is something special when God's people get together and start to worship. When we feed off of one another and we press into the presence of God, when other people are leading us in worship and all these musical instruments and all these beautiful voices are doing what they do and giving us an opportunity to move in the presence of God. I'm never probably going to pick up a guitar and play it and sing a song to Jesus. All right? That's not my thing. All right? He does not let me off the hook because of that. He wants me to engage in corporate worship with other people, to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me, and honor him with my whole heart. Can I take just a minute? I'm going to give a public service announcement for everybody who's at home, all right, watching online. I want to say this. If you're at home because you truly are concerned about COVID or you truly do have health issues, that's one thing. But if you're doing Walmart and Little League and work and school and Sunday morning, it's just so easy to stay home. You need to be among God's people worshiping as we can be together. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to really open the door here. Last year when we were at home with COVID and I would come up here in the middle of the week and stand in this spot and I would preach a sermon to a camera, and then come Sunday morning we would all get online and we would watch the music and we would watch the message and we'd pray a little bit together. I'm going to be honest with you. I found it extremely hard to stand up at home and go, woo! Because I was afraid I was going to spill my coffee. All right? My pajamas don't look just right. I found it really hard to just stand up in my living room and just truly honor God. Now, that may be easy for you. It wasn't so easy for me. I just want to encourage everybody who's at home and can be in church. I'm going to encourage you to be in church. To let's honor the Lord together. Let's be around the people who can lead us into the presence of God so that we can grow. Okay? Here's number 7. Tehillah. I love this one. To sing to the Lord. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say you should sing to the Lord if you can sing. If other people think you can sing, then you should sing to the Lord. You know, when they start, I haven't watched it in years, but you remember when they, American Idol, and the first few episodes would always be these horrible singers. I mean, you're like, oh, the only person that enjoys that is Jesus. That's it. And they've been lied to their whole life. You're a singer. You should go on American Idol. No, you shouldn't. You should sing to Jesus. He loves it when you sing to him. The rest of us could do without it. All right. Now watch. Satan will use that little phrase, I'm not a singer, to cause you to clam up when you get in with God's people. Oof, what if they hear me? What if they do? What if they do? They probably know you can't sing anyway. You're not up here. All right? It'll be all right. Here's the thing. When we stand before the Lord and we sing, something happens when we sing to God. Something happens. Watch what happens. This is Isaiah 61. He says, to all who mourn in Israel. Think about that. To all who mourn. You got problems right now? You got stuff that steals your joy? To all who mourn in Israel, he will give you a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning. Watch this. Festive praise, tehillah, singing to the Lord. Festive singing to the Lord instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Amen. There is something that happens when we sing together, when we say, Lord, thank you for all you've done for me, all you are doing, all you're planning. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Now when Jody's dad was just about to pass away, this has been about 6 years ago, Jody's whole family only knows one volume, and that is Wide Open. All right, if the dial goes from 1 to 10, they are an 11. All right, they listen. It took me a little bit to get used to it, and I love them now. Now, when we were in the room with her dad before he passed away, they started singing old gospel songs, and they weren't singing, "I'll fly." They were singing, "Ah!" It was so loud, nurses were coming by like, "What's happening in here?" But here's what happened. We went from this spirit of mourning to this spirit of joy, this festive praise, because we're singing about where he's about to go. We're singing about heaven. We're saying the cares of this world are almost gone. And as it started to build, everybody in the room started to sing. It didn't start with everybody. I certainly didn't start the song. My brother-in-law started the song, and he's a singer. He starts singing, and before long, everybody in the room, the ones who don't even know Jesus, are singing. I mean, just singing. Just praising the Lord. And when we are mourning and when we're hurting, that's the time when we need to honor God the most with our praise and say, "Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're doing for us." And know that he's going to take care of us. And know that he's going to walk with us every step of the way. All right, I got to stop. I want to share this passage with you from a little story, an account from Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 is the story of the Israelites, and they are standing at the walls of Jericho. Jericho is a city that God has promised them that they would have. And God said, "Here's what you're going to do. The gates are locked. The walls are tall. You're never going to get in there. But here's what you're going to do." He told Joshua, "Organize it this way. I want you to put 7 priests in the front with ram horn trumpets. Then I want you to put the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God here on earth. And then I want you to mingle in there the soldiers, all right? So every day you're going to walk around these walls one time. The ram horn trumpets are going to be blowing, whatever they do, all right? They're blowing. And listen, when an enemy hears a ram horn trumpet playing during this time in history, they got nervous. They're like, uh-oh. The battle is about to be on. So the ram horn trumpets are playing. And they walk around the walls one time on the first day, one time the second day. They did it one time all the way to the 6th day. And the Bible says that on the 7th day, God told them, "I want you to walk around the walls 7 times. On the 7th time, they did it. 6, all the way 6. And then on the 7th time, God said, "When you hear the priest let out a long blast on the trumpet, I want all the people to shout. And when you shout, the walls of the city are going to come crumbling down right before your eyes." They go 1 time, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. On the 7th time, the anticipation is building. They're listening. The priests are playing the trumpets. They know that this is the same song they've been playing all week. And then all of a sudden, they hear the long blast of the priest's trumpets. And everybody there, all of God's people at one time, shouted at the top of their lungs. And the walls of Jericho started to crumble and crack and fell down right before their very eyes, and they had the victory, and they didn't even have to do the work. What they had to do was worship. What they had to do was say, "Thank you, God, for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do." If we don't get anything else from this story, we need to get this. We need to engage God in worship. And live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And it will be, for some of us, uncomfortable. It's going to be a little bit uncomfortable the first time you step out and you worship. Listen, you might not be the guy up here doing this. Woo-woo-woo. You might be the guy going woo-woo-woo. But raise your hands and give God something to work with. Raise your voice in song a little bit. Sing it a little bit. Give God something to work with. And I think what's going to happen is walls in your life are going to start to shake a little bit. And the things that you've been so worried about and look so huge are going to start to crumble a little bit. Because you recognize that God is who he says he is. And he's going to do what he said he would do. And when we honor him in thanksgiving, we honor him with worship, He blesses us in the process. He takes away the mourning and he gives us joy. He takes away the despair and he gives us peace. And so I want you to stand with me this morning. I've asked the band to sing the first song they sang this morning. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to finish this service this morning by saying, Lord, we want to honor you with everything in us. You've been so good to us, and we still want other blessings. And we're going to honor you in advance for those blessings that we know are on the way. I want to ask you this morning to get out of your comfort zone, and let's honor him together. Let's do it right now.
Through you, the blind will see. Through you, the mute will sing. Through you, the dead will rise. Through you, our hearts will praise. Through you, the darkness flees. Through you, my heart screams, I am free.
It's
10 seconds right here and just make some noise for Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We give you praise. We receive all you have. We stand in your presence this morning knowing who you are. God, we thank you. We honor you. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all are crazy. Sometimes does not change our circumstances, but we do not have to be bound and chained up by those circumstances. God never wants us living without joy and contentment and peace, even though our circumstances are not perfect. God may miraculously change your circumstances, and I hope he does if you don't like them. But at the same time, God might just give you a crazy joy and remove the mourning and remove the despair and give you peace like you've never had before. I just believe God's doing something in somebody's life right here this morning. I believe God is showing up. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And Lord, we sometimes allow the circumstances that we consider to be negative, we allow those circumstances to hold us down. And we stop moving forward in you, and we sort of lose our joy. We're filled with anxiety for a minute. We don't feel contentment, and we're always looking for the next thing, and we can't be happy where we are. And today we pray that that would all be broken. Lord, that today something brand new would start to happen in our hearts, and something brand new would start to happen in our lives, that no matter what our circumstances are, Lord, we would have a celebration in our heart for what you've done and what you're planning to do in the future. God, we give you praise. We give you credit for every good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't want to go, all right? I just want to hang out in this. I want to challenge you, though, this week. Find some time alone and just worship. Bow down on your knees. Sing that song. If you hear yourself singing, you're like, that's terrible. Good. That's just good. All right, just sing it. Sing it to him. Lifting your hands, lifting your voice, and let's just honor him. The Bible says this, and I'm going to let you go. God inhabits the praises of his people. Sometimes when we feel the most alone is when we haven't worshiped in a long time. But when we worship, and when we live in an attitude of thanksgiving, God lives in the praises of his people. God answers prayers when we praise him, when we worship him. But Satan wants to stop it. Satan wants you to walk in here next Sunday and go, I'm not raising my hands. I don't want anybody looking at me. I don't want anybody hearing me. I don't want to be one of those crazy people over there. And fellas, can I talk to you to us for just a minute? Men, we have a tendency to let our pride get in the way of our worship. And we need to let go of that garbage. And we need to let God help us honor Him with our whole hearts. Never holding back, saying, Lord, I want to put You first. You don't have to look like somebody else doing it. That's okay. But don't let it stop you from moving forward in your relationship with God, from worshiping Him. All right. Father, bless us as we go. Help us to take this with us this morning. Help us to take this with us and let You do Your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. One more hand clap of praise. Thank You, Jesus.